Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Simcha Yakovici is an Emmy-winning filmmaker. He's a director, producer. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Simcha. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good. I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
So you saw this, I'm assuming you've seen this finding, and they're claiming all sorts of very, very interesting things, that the, that Mount Sinai is actually in Saudi Arabia, and they seem pretty confident about it, but I guess they have to be, right?
Well, I don't know exactly which article you're referring to, but this is not a new thing. There's been this argument that it's in Saudi Arabia for at least a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. So all I can tell you is that, you know, I have a very simple approach to these things, and that is, what does the Bible say, and can that be confirmed or not? Because if we're not using the Bible as our treasure map, so to speak, then anybody can point to any mountain.
Yes,
and that's Mount Sinai.
Yeah, we found it near Pretoria, yeah, just outside of Johannesburg.
I mean, you can point to any mountain.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, so either the biblical account is accurate or it's anybody's game, right? So I stick very, you know, the Bible, let's start there. The Bible says that it's in the Sinai Peninsula. It's called Mount Sinai. It's not in Arabia. Let's start there, you know. And when you deal with the biblical Exodus, you have this crossing. Somehow, whether you think it was a miracle that the sea parted, or it was a lake, or there was a tsunami, but somehow these escaping Israelites crossed the body of water. Now, the people who say it's in Saudi Arabia talk about crossing the Red Sea, right? So, I mean, you know, and getting there, the Bible gives you a chronology. It says how many days, how many weeks it took from here to there. According to people who say the Mount Sinai is in the Saudi Arabia, you know, all of these were all the Israelites following Moses, including Moses, were Olympic athletes running at a tremendous, breaking all records and running to get from where they started out in the area of biblical Goshen, which is around the Cairo area, and making it all the way to Saudi Arabia in record time. So, I think those kinds of speculations are not speculations that I get involved. My claim of what's Mount Sinai is, and I've documented this in several documentaries, is based on the biblical chronology, biblical geography, and there is a mountain that fits all those things, and it's not in Saudi Arabia. It's exactly where it should be. It's somewhere between Egypt and Israel, and it's about an hour and a half outside of Eilat into the Sinai Peninsula. It's called Hashem El Tarif.
What could we still expect to find in these, if we're looking for a Mount Sinai? What could possibly even be left there today?
Well, I mean, again, you know, the biblical account is very specific. It doesn't say the Israelites followed Moses, they went out there somewhere in the desert, and they climbed some kind of mountain. That doesn't say that. It just gives exact coordinates. It says it's so many days from, it actually gives you 14 days from this place, you know, so many days from that place. Mm. So what I did, and people can look it up, you just take Mount Sinai and my last name, which is spelled Jacobovici, Jacob O-V-I-C-I, Jacobovici, one word. I had an article in the Jerusalem Post some years ago, and there's one of my films there. And they can see what I did is I triangulated. Mm. Like if you go 14 days from here and so many days from there and so many days from there, you just create arcs, and then you're left with a little space, and it has to be there if it's going to fit the geography explained in Mount Sinai. So the mountain would be there. Okay, so there's a lot of mountains even in that little area. Mm. But again, the biblical accounts and the traditional Talmudic and Jewish sources, they give it's a very low mountain. It's not a high mountain. You have Moses, who's 80 years old, you know, and he's got to climb up this mountain. So he's not rappelling up. He's not building. It's not Mount Everest.
Right.
You know, so it's got to be low. And the most significant thing about it, it's got to have water flowing from the top down. We have the episode in the Bible where the Israelites worship a golden calf. Moses comes down. He's very upset. He crushes the golden calf, and he puts the gold dust into the stream, into the stream that flowed from the top down. Now, in a desert, that's a very, very unusual phenomena. You would know a mountain that has a live stream, because people are, right, your thirst, you know, wells, water is the most important thing. So if you find the mountain, you've got to look to see, is there any evidence that at any time there was a stream? Is there still a stream there now, or was there a stream then? So you do have a checklist.
Marcus.
It's gotta be here. It's gotta be low. It's gotta have evidence of a stream. And again, I did all that and filmed it and wrote about it. And it just fits. It fits everything. It's also, by the way, when I was on top of Hashem El Tarif, which you can Wikipedia. When I was there, one of the amazing things was that I could speak to my film crew down below by just talking the way I'm talking to you now.
Wow.
The acoustics are tremendous. So it's got to have an area around it that accommodates hundreds of thousands of people. This mountain does. But it says over and over again that Moses addressed the Israelites. And you say, well, how did he address? He didn't have, you know, he didn't have speakers. He didn't have microphones. Yeah. The amazing thing, the acoustics around this mountain are such that you can talk the way I'm talking to you, and the people down below can hear you.
Absolutely fascinating. So what is this political? Is this academic one-upmanship? What is this need to find something and prove something different to that which, as you say, is traceable in the Bible?
Well, I think people go on an adventure and they want to find this most famous of all mountains in history, and they get very excited. I do, when they see archaeological evidence. So, for example, you know, when we read in the book of the prophets. Often malign the Israelites for not worshiping God and setting up altars in all the high places, meaning that they revert to some kind of polytheistic or pagan, whatever you want to call it, worship. They're not true to the God of Israel, and they set up altars. It's all over the prophets that you've set up altars on every mountaintop. So if you go up a mountain, and archaeologically, you find an altar, you get very excited. You say, my God, this must be Mount Sinai. Look, there's an altar here. But the truth is, you should be able to go all over the Middle East and find altars wherever people practice religion. They always went to high places.
Right.
So I think that, you know, when people go up on by the way, there's different candidates. There's like 10 different candidates from Mount Sinai. One likes it because, you know, Professor Anati likes a mountain in the Negev that's called Har Karkom, the mountain Karkom. Why does he like that particular mountain? Because it has petroglyphs. It has ancient drawings. And the ancient drawings seem to suggest that people over many centuries went to that mountain to worship. Now, it can be a holy mountain without being Mount Sinai. So now that mountain doesn't fit, for example, Midianites. The Midianites should be close by because Moses.
Right. So in other words, you've got to look at, and unfortunately we do need to leave it there. We're late for news headlines, but you've got to look at all of the factors.